Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, brought to you, as always, as part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And once again, I am your host, Gino Camilleri, joining you on this frigid Wednesday. And first off, I'd like to apologize from both Lou and myself. It's been a little hectic with our recording schedule this week. Monday and yesterday, I didn't have any internet in my house, and then we went to record today, and I texted Lou around noon today trying to see if we could record. He doesn't have any internet today, so we're trying to get it together. We're trying to bring you guys content, and as always, we're going to bring you our best one way or another. It stinks living in Western New York here. The weather's not the best, as always, and this is a little unforeseen circumstance, but that doesn't keep us away from football. And today, we are going to be talking a little midweek mock draft. I'm hoping to bring you guys a midweek mock maybe every second or third week, and we have something really cool planned for you guys. We're going to have me, Lou, Lars, and our recurring guest, Tyler Steggy. We're going to do a four-way mega mock draft, and we're going to try to do three of those before the actual NFL draft. And just as always, when it's the four of us, we'll all be picking for, we're going to have eight teams in particular. I mean, with Green Bay and Oakland having multiple picks, I'm sure we'll figure something out. But it's going to be really cool. We're going to try to work into some trades into those. And because you're going to see a lot of mock drafts this time of the year without any trades. And that just never happens. How many times have you seen a first round where it just goes according to plan? The answer is never. So we're going to make it a little fun. But today, I'm just going to keep it black and white. We're going to go through a mock draft that I put together. I've been evaluating, doing a lot of reading on these prospects. And I think this is an exciting draft class. In the past, I haven't been as in-depth to the deeper parts of the class as I am this year, and I'm really excited now that I have my nose into this whole scouting ordeal to really get a grasp on how this draft season goes. And I think there's a lot of positions in this draft coming up that are very deep and can make some impact moves for a lot of teams, especially the Philadelphia Eagles. And you look at this Eagles team, there's three big areas that I addressed with this team that I think they can definitely make an impact in this draft. I think interior defensive line / the edge, interior offensive line or offensive tackle as well, and then safety, I think, are the big three positions. Do they need a playmaker at running back? Yes. Do they need a field stretching wide receiver? They also do. But I think those three, the philosophy of the Philadelphia Eagles is to build from the inside out, from the offense and defensive line, as Lou and I have discussed. And in a class that Howie Roseman not just says is great, but historic on the defensive line of the football, I think that is going to hint at where they are going to go in the first round of this draft, even maybe in the deeper rounds of this draft, because there is so much depth at those positions. But, as always, the NFL is a ever-changing landscape. The needs that teams have now aren't going to be the needs that they have in a month and a half from now when we hit NFL free agency. So, you're going to see these mock drafts ever-changing. But, we're going to try and hit it as close to the nose as we can. I think I got five or six correct last year. Not the exact position, but the correct team and position player that was drafted. So we'll try to get a little better this time around. In the first segment, I'm going to bring you guys the first 12 to 15 picks, depending on the time. The second, I will bring you the second half. And then the third segment, I will bring you the Eagles pick. I will skip over that in the second segment. And I'd like to discuss a little bit more about that pick when we get there. So, starting off, you have the Arizona Cardinals. They have a new regime with Cliff Kingsbury coming in there. You would think maybe this team wants to go offense now that they have Cliff. He said in an interview that he would take Kyler Murray first overall. I don't really think that's possible because there are so many more blue chip prospects, so many elite prospects in this draft, especially on the defensive line of the football. I think they start out by picking Quinnen Williams, interior defensive lineman out of Alabama. As long as you have Chandler Jones, the edge isn't going to be as big of a concern where a Nick Bosa may come into play there. But I think Quinnen Williams, you put him in the interior, he's going to take a lot of double teams to free up the edge for a guy like Chandler Jones to allow him to wreak havoc ever more than he has been, because he's been at the top of his game and top of his game the last couple years. And I only think that's going to get better when they add Quinnen Williams with the first overall selection. Moving on to number two, you have the Niners. another team with a new head coach the year prior with Shanahan. He brought in a lot of offensive weapons last year, and the thing that killed him, as always, was their defense. Their interior defensive line looked solid. You had DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead. I'm very familiar with them. As you guys know, I am an Oregon fan. Those two are bulls on the inside. Solomon Thomas, the edge rusher that they took a couple years ago, really hasn't panned out for the third overall selection, but I think taking Nick Bosa, the edge from Ohio State at number two, is just surefire knock it out of the park pick for this team, because Armstead and Buckner had very solid seasons on the interior. If Thomas can come into his own and play at that third overall ranking at which they took him, I think pairing him with Bosa, San Fran can have a defense in that division that thrives on tough battles on the interior, on the offense and defensive line. As you see, those NFC West teams always battle. I think Bosa's the surefire pick. Once again, I think the first two picks, regardless of how they're taken, either Williams or Bosa or Williams, are going to be surefire. And who knows, there may be a trade up to the top for a quarterback. We'll see when we get closer. But I think right now, those two are the best prospects that you're going to see. I think they're surefire for both of them. Then moving to number three, this is where things start to get a little tricky. You have the Jets. They have a lot of needs. You have a new coaching regime with Adam Gase. You're going to need help on the defensive line. There's talks that they're going to let Leonard Williams walk. You need cornerbacks. Tremaine Johnson, really, he didn't come into his own what he was worth on that contract. You're going to need an offensive lineman to protect Darnold. And the list goes on and on for the Jets. But the one thing that the Jets have made known that they want to address is edge rusher. And I think, in my opinion, the next best edge behind Bosa is Josh Allen. He's a guy who has just skyrocketed up draft boards, a lot like Josh Allen last year, funny enough. And he's a guy that's going to get talk of being in that top five. And he himself even said he thinks he should be the first overall pick. Obviously not going to happen, but it's great to have that mentality. And I think if the Jets don't pay a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence or Brandon Graham in free agency, they are going to use a high pick on a defensive lineman, that being Josh Allen, the edge out of Kentucky. Moving on to the Oakland Raiders. John Gruden. Who knows how he's going to draft? I think there is a blueprint that they can follow to win this first round of the draft, especially with three picks. Two picks in the back half of the 20s. I think here, you have to go the best wide receiver for your quarterback, and I think that's DK Metcalf. Reasoning being, yes, there is a lot of talent on the defensive line, but that also means there's going to be a lot of depth. Up top, in regards to wide receivers, there's not much there. You're going to have guys like Akeel Harry that are talked about, Keem Butler who is going to be talked about, Kelvin Harmon who's talked about. But the belle of the ball in regards to wide receivers is going to be DK Metcalf out of Ole Miss. I think you get your weapon. You can worry about getting another defensive lineman and another linebacker or corner wherever you want to go later in this round. But I think you have to take Metcalf because there are teams behind you, i.e. the Buffalo Bills, maybe even Denver or Cincinnati want to take a look. Even Green Bay, there's a lot of teams that would love to have the talent of Metcalf. I think you have to take him there or he's going to be off the board. And the talent of wide receiver takes a step back after Metcalf. So moving on, we have Tampa Bay, another team with a turnover in their coaching staff. They're going to have a lot of turnover in this offseason. There's rumors that Vinny Curry and Bo Allen could be cut, and Gerald McCoy. I think this is one of those teams that's finally figuring out that they can't middle in mediocrity, and they're starting to get into that rebuild mode. So, as I said, if you're going to release three very solid defensive lineman, you're going to have to make an impact. And Ed Oliver is that guy, the interior defensive lineman out of Houston. There are talks that he could run the fastest time in the three-cone drill, which was set by Fletcher Cox. Shout out to Ben Solak of Bleeding Green Nation for picking that stat up. That's a fun trivia question for you guys. Fletcher Cox currently holds the record in the combine for the three-cone with, I think it's 7.08, and Ed Oliver's said to beat that. And I think Oliver had a rough season with Houston. I think there was a lot of things in the coaching staff that were out of his understanding that he couldn't really do, but his production on the field is spoken for. You see how good he is. He's an absolute stud. I think that's surefire if you're going to walk away from guys like McCoy and Vinny Curry and Bo Allen. Moving on to the Giants, they should take a quarterback here. They need offensive linemen. We know how bad they were. Nate Solder didn't play up to his contract. I think you have to go ahead and take Jonah Williams. The fact that he lasted this long, I think the Giants are going to be all over that. You know they're going to stick with Manning. They want to keep him around for at least another year. You go Jonah Williams, best tackle in the draft out of Alabama. I think that's basically the only pick that they can make there. Then you move on to Jacksonville. This is a team that they could take a shot on Nick Foles. They could take a shot on another bridge quarterback. But I think this team is going to stay put. They're going to go for Dwayne Haskins, who is said to be the best quarterback, maybe a little better than Kyler. I would take Kyler over Dwayne Haskins. I'm not the biggest Dwayne Haskins fan. But Jacksonville took a shot on Blake Bortles a few years ago at 3. Wouldn't surprise me if they take a shot on Haskins again out of Ohio State. Just, it's going to happen. They're moving on from Bortles. You can't see any more out of the quarterbacks they had behind him. So Haskins at number 7 for Jacksonville. Moving on to Detroit. I think this is a pick where they can really do what they want. They have needs at defensive back. You need somebody to pair on the opposite side of Darius Slay. You're going to need an edge rusher and tight end. You're going to need one since you let a great one walk that last year. And I think you have to go edge just because of the class here. I think you have a guy who I'm taking at this pick, Cleveland Farrell, who is very experienced, has played at a high level, has played against great competition, and has played on the biggest stage. And a guy like Matt Patricia, who thrives on defense, I think taking an edge rusher to make an impact, especially if a guy like Ziggy Ansah walks, is the move. Could they take a shot on a guy like TJ Hockenson at tight end? They could, but I think they really want to solidify their defense. I think they're confident in their weapons that they have currently in Marvin Jones and their other wide receivers. And I think the go-to right here would be a Cleveland Farrell. Moving on to my local Buffalo Bills. They're going to be upset that DK Metcalf is off the board. A lot of the local radio hosts here are addressing that they need offensive playmakers. You could go Hockenson. I don't think taking him at 9 would be the best fit, especially a team that needs offensive line for their young quarterback. I think you go the second best offensive tackle with Cody Ford out of Oklahoma. A little bit of a reach, I would say, but with no trades that we're currently doing and sitting there at that pick, I think that is the go-to for the Bills. You need to solidify it. Deion Dawkins didn't prove you enough to take that position. So Cody Ford to the Bills. Next pick. This one was the easiest one I had to put on my board. Drew Lock, quarterback out of Missouri to the Denver Broncos. You hear the reports of how Elway is smitten with him. He makes it known who he wants, and I think he's going to get Drew Lock. Should he be taken at 10? In my opinion, no. I think he would be the third best quarterback in this draft. But Elway wants his guy. He's going to get his guy. Quarterback Drew Lock out of Missouri. Moving on to the next pick, Cincinnati. I think this is a very easy pick as well. They really need linebackers. I mean, Vontaze Burfict should never see the field again. The other ones you really can't name off the top of your head. I think Devin White, linebacker out of LSU, surefire, hard-hitting linebacker, solidifies that position for them going forward. Easy pick for me, in my opinion. Moving to Green Bay. This is a team that also can go in a lot of different directions. But the good thing is, they have that pick that the Saints gave them for Marcus Davenport, which is absolutely still crazy. I still can't believe that happened. I think you have to go the best remaining edge here for Green Bay. They really struggled to get at the quarterback last year. You have Clay Matthews, who is going to be a roster cut sooner or later. And I think Ja'Kai Polite, he's going to be the next edge off the board. He is lethal getting to the quarterback. He is that assassin. He will get there. There are other guys there that they could take, a Brian Burns, for example. But I think Polite is going to be the get for Green Bay. They're going to take him there. And then moving on to the next pick, Kyler Murray. I think this is going to be the splash of the draft for Miami. I think they really figured out that they can't have these immobile quarterbacks, i.e. Jay Cutler, i.e. Ryan Tannehill. They need to have somebody that's more mobile, can open things up for this new coaching regime. Who is it going to be? I don't know. There's talks about Flores out of New England, the linebacking coach that will take that spot. But I think if Murray's there, he's an exciting player. Teams have been more apt to take shorter quarterbacks. You hear John Gruden, who has the most archaic philosophy in football, talk about how he's open to short quarterbacks. So if you're going to bring in a younger coach in Flores, he's going to take a shot on Kyler Murray. moving on to pick number 14. I think Atlanta, they have most of the positions filled. They just have a few needs, and injuries really riddled that team last year. You have stud wide receivers. You have a great running back duo. Tevin Coleman probably will walk in free agency. Your secondary is very good. There's only one position that you really need since you addressed edge in the last couple drafts with Tack McKinley and Vic Beasley. I think pairing somebody next to Grady Jarrett would be key and would make this defense turn a lot more. And I think Rashawn Gary out of Michigan would be huge. I think if you have to worry about Gary and Grady Jarrett, you're going to be in for a bad time. And I know teams in the NFC South are not going to want to have to deal with that duo. And I think Gary, he's going to be, it could be either a Christian Wilkins type right here or a Gary. I think Gary is the pick. I think a lot of teams maybe have not so much soured on Wilkins, but just know what he is. They know his ceiling. I think Gary has a bigger boomer bust almost than a guy like Christian Wilkins, and that could be the pick there. Moving on to 15, and then we will wrap up this first segment of Locked On Eagles. Washington Redskins, Eagles fans, we know how bad the wide receiver group was for the Redskins last year. I think you have to go one of the next, that second tier of wide receivers here, and I'm going to go with Calvin Harmon out of NC State. The tape that I've seen between him and Keel Harry and Hakeem Butler, Harmon, even though he plays at a smaller school in NC State, he plays against top competition in that conference, and I think the tape that he put out is good enough to garner a pick for the Redskins to solidify what they are going to do moving forward. Who knows who their quarterback is going to be, but you are going to have to solidify some wide receivers around them. And just like NFL mock drafts are a bet, so is betting with my bookie. And you know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to go to MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they are the best in the business this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. Like me, Lou and I have said over the past, we've had accounts for years. Going to put a ton of Super Bowl prop bets in. That's my favorite thing to do. And that's why I'm telling you guys to make your way over to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each week. And sadly, it is the last week of the season, so make sure you guys take advantage of that. So, join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar using promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON to activate your offer. Once again, visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, and you get paid. And MyBookie will match our listeners' first deposit 100% up to the first $1,000. So come on back after the break to the second segment of Locked On Eagles. Welcome on back, everybody, to the second edition of this Wednesday, January 30th edition of Locked On Eagles. Like I said in the first half, we got some good picks on the first 15. We're going to kind of power through this second half so we have time to discuss who the Eagles will be taking at pick number 25. So moving on to pick 16 for the Carolina Panthers, you have your quarterback who really struggled to stay healthy. He's having that shoulder surgery. What better way than protect his blind side with a guy like Yandy Kajust? He's a guy, big brawler, has big fist, very big, strong grip. As Michael Kiss said when we interviewed him the other day, he's a very solid pick for the Panthers there. A lot of scouts are saying he has low first end, high second round talent. But some teams are going to have to draft for positions in need. That's why I'm going to Kajust to the Panthers. Then to the Cleveland Browns, who for once they're picking at a position that isn't in the top 10. So this is kind of weird for me to look at. But I think to match what you did last year, you have to bring in another cornerback. And I think the guy here is definitely Byron Murphy out of Washington. You guys know my affection for Sidney Jones. I absolutely love. I stand for Washington defensive backs. It's just the one position group that they always seem to churn out, from Buda Baker to Kevin King to Sidney Jones to now a guy like Byron Murphy. You put him on that defense of the Cleveland Browns and they are going to start cooking there, and they're going to compete for a playoff spot next year. Mark my words. Moving to Minnesota, another team that struggled to keep Kirk Cousins upright in the pocket. Another offensive tackle, Greg Little, I think comes off the board here for Ole Miss. They have to protect him one way or another. You paid the guy $80-plus million guaranteed. This offense really struggled without Dalvin Cook to get a running game going, so their passing game struggled. I think you have to solidify the pocket. Greg Little could be that guy going forward. He's going to take a little bit of work, but he's a guy who could step in and make an impact for Minnesota right away. Moving on to Tennessee. A team that has a few positions they could address as well. They've shored up that secondary, even though sometimes it could be porous, but they've addressed the needs there. Could they add another offensive playmaker? They could. Their running back tandem is very good. You have Corey Davis. But one position that they're going to need, and a lot of teams need, is another pass rusher here. And I think Brian Burns is going to be that guy out of Florida State. Like I said earlier, a team like Green Bay could have picked a guy like Burns. These edge rushers are going to flip-flop in our evaluation, in NFL teams' evaluation, and they could go high and they could go low, but there's going to be some good ones that fall. Brian Burns and a lot of other draft classes is going to be a top 15 pick, but because here there's so many great edge and interior defensive linemen, he's going to fall, and a team like Tennessee could take him at that pick. It's going to be a surefire pick for them. He's going to help get the quarterback down, going to help free up things in the middle for a guy like Quan Short. It's going to be a good pick for them. I like Brian Burns. I'm very high on him. I think that's a good pick for Tennessee. Moving on to Pittsburgh. I think this is another position, another team that has one glaring position in need. That's the cornerback. Artie Burns did not work out for them. He should not have been picked that high, and he should, frankly, not really be a top two or three cornerback in my position. He's dreadful. You're going to need somebody to pair there with the vet that you have. You're going to bring in another young guy in Greedy Williams out of LSU, who is, in some circles, like I said with Yandy, he's going to be a high second round pick, lower first level pick. It varies. But when you're playing in the SEC and you're playing for what they quote unquote DBU and LSU, you have a big name, and Greedy is that guy. He has those ball skills that a team like Pittsburgh definitely needs. They have the offensive weapons, even though they're going to get rid of Antonio Brown. You have to address the defensive side of the football. I think Greedy is a good pick for them there. Could it be a DeAndre Baker out of Georgia? It could. I think they go for the bigger splash guy in Greedy Williams. Moving on to Seattle, no more Legion of Boom. But with one pick, Deontay Thompson, the safety out of Alabama, they could frankly become the Legion of Boom once again. Their young corners that they have, Griffin, and I think it's Flowers on the other side, if I'm not mistaken, they like what they see out of them, but they're going to need a safety now, and I think Deontay Thompson is that guy. I keep saying I think because I don't have the answers. Teams like Seattle have been so hit or miss on their picks, like they go and pick Rashad Penny. Who would have ever thought that they would pick Rashad Penny in the first round last year? Not me, not many other people. So that's why I keep saying I think I'm never going to have all the answers to this. I maybe get four or five of these right. All of the draft pundits maybe get four or five of these right. So you just have to get in the mind of what these GMs are seeing. And a guy like Deontay Thompson could sure up that defense for Seattle once again. Make that home environment dreadful for teams coming. Keep guys in front of you. Don't let the big plays occur. And that's what the Seattle defense is. And even though his play kind of fell off at the end of the year for Alabama, didn't come up the biggest in the national championship or the playoff, he's still a guy who has all the physical traits of a great corner, and I think he's going to be a surefire pick for one of these teams in the lower half of the draft, because teams like Kansas City, Philadelphia, they all need safeties, so they're going to start flying off the board here, as you'll see as I go through the rest of this round of the draft. Moving on to Baltimore, you have a young quarterback in Lamar Jackson. He's going to need weapons. I could see them taking a Hollywood Brown here out of Oklahoma, but if you keep John Brown, you're going to have that field-stretching wide receiver. I think you turn your attention to a guy like N'Keal Harry out of Arizona State. Very good hands. Doesn't have that top-end speed, but you don't have to worry about that because you have John Brown. To pair him with a Michael Crabtree, get Willie Snead out of town. That's really a trio that Lamar can start to work with. And because you picked Hayden Hurst the year before, you have a very four solid core guys that Lamar Jackson can start to throw the ball to. And N'Keal Harry's hands are very good. And Lamar is going to just have to get it to him. Get it in the air. And N'Keal Harry is going to catch it. Moving on to the Houston Texans, another team that is going to need offensive linemen. You know how I said the other day that Houston and the Colts were two teams that just let their quarterbacks get peppered. I think they are going to finally realize, once again I say I think because who knows, like Seattle, they should take an offensive lineman, but they never seem to do it. I think Houston finally has their head out of their rear end and are going to take an offensive lineman. I say Juwan Taylor out of Florida here. It's a very popular pick by a lot of draft pundits that I've read up on. It's a surefire pick. They need somebody. They haven't had anybody since they shipped, I think it was Brown, to Seattle. And they need somebody to protect that blind side of Watson, especially a guy who likes to get mobile. He takes a lot of hits and he has a knee injury. You have to keep him upright. Juwan Taylor is a guy that can do that. Moving on to Oakland, like I said earlier, they addressed their playmaking position. They take DK Metcalf because they're going to be edge rushers that fall, i.e. Brian Burns, like I mentioned, at Tennessee. And the big name here is Montez Sweat. I think he's one guy. He had a good Senior Bowl week. He doesn't have the greatest bend for an edge rusher, but he has all the power in the world. He's a guy that Oakland can get in there right away. Not going to be a Khalil Mack replacement by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a guy that can get after the quarterback. Mississippi State had a very good defensive line, and keep Mississippi State in mind for when I get around to the Eagles pick. Might have exposed who it's going to be, but I love Mississippi State defensive lineman Montez Sweat to Oakland. Moving on to Indy, you need one glaring need on your defensive side of the ball. That's cornerback. Those guys were going down like flies in the season. I think DeAndre Baker out of Georgia is going to be the guy that comes in. He's a guy that fluctuates highly how people scout him. Some people say he could be a top-end guy. A lot of people say that he doesn't have those skills to be that CB1. But the Colts need to figure it out. They have everything shored up on the offensive side of the football. They could go wide receiver here, but I think they have to take the next best corner. Greedy, Baker, and Murphy are going to be the top three guys, and I think you have to take that top third remaining guy there in DeAndre Baker to the Colts. Oakland, once again, seems like they're picking forever, but that's the right way to go about a rebuild. They're going to need offensive linemen to keep Derek Carr upright to get that ball down the field to DK Metcalf. And last year, you took a tackle. This year, you're going to take interior offensive line and Chris Lindstrom. He's the best guard in the draft out of Boston College. It's a boring pick, but they have to do it. You have to build from the inside out. John Gruden has that old school philosophy of building from the inside out. So I think Lidstrom is a pretty good pick for them. How they value the interior offensive line in this class is going to be hit or miss. There's not very top-end guys, but Lidstrom is, in my opinion, the number one in this class. Moving on to the Chargers, another team that has a lot of positions already filled. Their defensive backs, don't need any more of them. Edge rushers, don't need any more of them. Could they go interior defensive line? They could. Could they go offensive tackle? They could. This one, I have written down right here, Dalton Risner. But I think they go Christian Wilkins here because he's another guy that's going to fall solely on how deep this class is. He's a guy who produced all of 4 years at Clemson. He really solidified what his ceiling was, but his ceiling is not terrible. It's very good. He may not be that elite guy, but he's never going to be less than a good player for your team. And you have two great edge rushers in Bosa and Ingram. You bring in a guy like a Christian Wilkins, opens things up for the edge. This Chargers defense is going to be a bull for years to come. Really didn't do much in the playoffs with it, but they have all the pieces in the world. Wilkins could be that final one that breaks the camel's back and really opens up that defense for the Chargers. This pick for Kansas City, I really hate doing this, but Nasir Adderley, the safety out of Delaware, you guys know my affection for him. I've been spewing from the mountaintops for this guy on Twitter. I'm all over this guy. Kansas City, they couldn't stop a nosebleed last year. Eric Berry is a very good safety, but his health has been a concern over the last couple years. You bring in a guy like Nasir Adderley that can take on that coaching, who isn't really a finished product, but has all the traits to be a top-end safety. You take him in, have Eric Berry mold him into a great safety. They could be a formidable tandem for years to come if Berry can stay healthy, and Nasir is the heir apparent at that position. Green Bay, second pick of the first round. They already addressed edge here. I think they stay close to home and draft TJ Hockenson, the tight end out of Iowa. He could go a lot higher in this draft. I know a lot of people are high on him, but just the tight end position in general isn't one of those positions that is truly drafted in the top 15 picks. You might get one occasionally, but Hockenson is, by far, in my opinion, the best tight end in this draft. Jimmy Graham is going to be a cap casualty, not this year, but probably next year. Hockenson, he's a corn guy, he's Midwest guy, brutally strong guy at the tight end position, blocks like an offensive tackle. He's the perfect fit to go into a small city like Green Bay and really become a star for that team and be one of Aaron Rodgers' top weapons there. The Rams, who I think are going to lose the Super Bowl to the New England Patriots, are picking at 31. A lot of their positions, once again, are filled. Who knows who they're going to prioritize in free agency, but one position that they definitely do need, since they shipped Ogletree out of town before the season began, is outside linebacker. I think Devin Bush out of Michigan is going to be that guy. He can cover in space. His hips are very fluid. He's not the best linebacking prospect. There may be some that prioritize the linebacker out of Alabama more, but Bush for that outside linebacking position, I think, is the way to go for the Rams. They sure things up for another Super Bowl run, possibly. But New England, they got to start figuring it out where they're going to fix all these holes that are going to come about in the next couple seasons. You have the McCourty twins, who say they're going to retire. Gronkowski's on the edge of retirement. Brady could be retiring. Who knows? But if Gronk does step away, I think Noah Font is the 32nd pick, the last pick of this first round, and he is going to be the heir apparent to Rob Gronkowski. Iowa is going to have two tight ends picked in the first round of the draft. You could write that in stone. They're both great. Font had better production, but Hockenson has the better tools. They could flip-flop in how they go in this draft. But if New England can have one of them fall to them in this class, in a very deep tight end class, they're going to pounce on it, especially with the risk of Gronkowski, especially one with his health and the threat of retirement. They have to replace him. So there's only one pick that we are missing, and it is the Philadelphia Eagles. And come back real quick as we're going to wrap up this edition of Locked On Eagles. I'll get into who the Eagles could take at that pick. All right, welcome back, everybody. Real quick to finish up this segment of Locked On Eagles. At pick 25, I think the Eagles could be open to a trade down a couple spots, maybe even a trade up if one of these elite edge guys does fall. But I've said it time and time again, I think interior defensive line is the position that will make this defense run. If they don't go a guy like Adderley at the safety position to take over for Malcolm Jenkins or Rodney McLeod in years to come, you have to address that defensive line with the risk of losing Tim Jernigan, the risk of losing Haloti Ngata. Michael Bennett is only going to be able to rush from the inside so many plays throughout the season and is only going to be here for so long. You need to bring in a guy to pair long-term with Fletcher Cox. And just like Fletcher Cox, this player, Jeffrey Simmons, interior defensive line out of Mississippi State, is going to be that guy. He's a guy that a lot of Eagles fans, a lot of Eagles writers are pounding the table for. He played three solid years at Mississippi State, had no lower than 40 tackles in his last season, had 63 tackles, 18 tackles for loss. And you know why he's so good at creating tackles for loss? Because he has a very explosive first step, and he has a lot of upper body power. He's going to be not a Fletcher Cox with a very wide and firm frame, but he is a guy who has that power from his upper body, is explosive, can use his length to create those two-way goes. He's going to open up a lot of things for both Fletcher Cox and the edge rushers in this draft. If you guys hear them walk up to the podium and mention Jeffrey Simmons as the 25th pick. You should be very excited. At 25, there's going to be a ton of talent that they could pick from. But Simmons would make this defense churn. If you keep Tim Jernigan and you can rotate Fletcher Cox, Jernigan, and Simmons, whew, I feel bad for every quarterback in the NFL because this defense, we know how Jim Schwartz loves to rush four, and if you can have four solid guys hitting home time and time again, you are going to be a power for years to come. As we'd like to say, this Eagles team is trying to build a dynasty. But for today, I will leave you with that. Thank you, everybody, for once again joining me on this Wednesday edition, this midweek mock of the Eagles and every other team in the NFL. You can find me on Twitter at Gino_LOE. Find Lou at DiBiaseLOE. Follow us on Twitter. Leave 5-star reviews at Lockdown Birds. Find us on Twitter, Spotify. Leave us those 5-star reviews. We really, really need them. Helps us out a lot. Thank you guys for listening. As always, hope you guys had fun with this one. We're going to give you a lot of more fun content going forward. So as always, fly Eagles, fly.